It's been a great few chapters, hasn't it? It's really amping up towards the end of book one.
Really is, mate. This is such a good podcast. We've nailed it. We really have.
This podcast is so good.
My name's Will.
And my name's Steve.
You haven't got time to read War and Peace,
even if it is one of the greatest novels of all time.
587,000 words.
612 grams.
That's the weight of the book.
500 characters.
361 chapters.
3 volumes.
2 epilogues.
And a collection of maps. We're going to summarise all of it for you.
This is War and Peace
in just 7 years.
You alright, mate? How's it going?
I'm very well, thank you, Will. How are you?
I'm excellent, as always. Have you checked the inbox?
Another email.
It's just unstoppable. We received an email from a woman called Amy. She sent us a very long email, almost as long as War and Peace. But thanks for that, Amy.
It's a great email. Thank you for writing in. She's really thought about it.
To cut a long email short, Amy is asking us to speed up.
She basically, and I would be really interested to know if anyone else feels the same. She feels like basically 7 years is a bit too long to take to summarise War and Peace.
Ridiculous. It's not. It's not a long amount of time.
Her gist is that she enjoys the podcast, which is great. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
But she would just like it a bit quicker. She'd like more episodes. You know, what do you think about that, Will?
I respect Amy's beliefs and opinions, and I will fight for her right to express them. And look, if all of you want us to speed up, well, get together and make a little petition.
She also has some other shocking news, I would say, in her email. I did find this bit quite shocking. I had to sit down.
Yeah, I felt actually physically sick when I read this. Now, what Amy is alleging here is that the chapters, which now the chapters of War and Peace in our copy are very important because that's how we're going to structure the format of this show for 7 years.
Yeah.
Amy's saying those chapters are arbitrary.
She's saying they're completely made up.
She's saying Tolstoy didn't necessarily structure the book in this way. I don't know if she's doing this to get to us.
Look, I'll read you a bit out. I'm fairly sure that the chapters are arbitrary.
Wow.
2 exclamation marks. Tolstoy didn't put them in.
Wow.
My edition's different to yours.
Wow.
I'm trying to follow along. Chapter 17's number 16. Ugh. Everything's in book one.
What?
Would you go faster? What? Would you do multiple episodes in a week?
Amy,
combine
stop,
one chapter in multiple one episode? She does end with a big smiley face, so you know, there's that.
Thanks for that.
Amy, thank you for your email. There's a lot of food for thought, a lot of shocking revelations in there that will take time to sink in, I think.
It will. But look, on that note, you're right, Steve. Welcome to episode 21 of War and Peace in just 7 years.
What happened last week, mate?
Such a good question. Last week may very well be the best chapter of book one so far.
Such a sensational set of activities.
It was absolutely brilliant. The Rostovs' party was in full swing. They were playing cards. Boston, of course.
2 packs, 4 hands. I'll never forget it.
Just incredible. I've been playing Boston all week with my girlfriend.
Oh, Fontainebleau. 2 packs, 4 cards.
But of course, the cards were barely scratching the surface of brilliance from last week. We had the crying.
You know, the hide-and-seek scene.
Hunting for Sonia. She was on the dirty feather bed, sobbing her eyes out because of love-based reasons. But then, the song, The Brook. Our first musical interlude of our podcasting journey. And boy, did you do us proud there, Steve. Great singing.
Thanks, mate.
Really enjoyed that.
Someone said it was a bit like a shanty.
Was it your intention to sing it to the tune of a shanty?
Look, I have got a dirty secret, actually, which is that I do occasionally enjoy listening to shanty music.
Look, we'll cut that song out from last week and we'll release it. It will be number one by next week.
Straight to tape.
But then, of course, we ended the chapter on the best moment in the book. Count Rostov did the Daniel Cooper.
Oh, oh.
It was just incredible. The Daniel Cooper, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, is just the best dance imaginable.
Yeah, I mean, what I would love to see is someone send in a video of them doing the Daniel Cooper.
Please.
That would be great. Please send us out on Instagram, any way you can, post us a VHS tape, Betamax, whatever you've got.
We'd love that. The Daniel Cooper, what a way to end chapter 20. The finest dance by the finest man.
The Count just keeps on giving and giving and giving. He is the happiest, I'm going to say, most skilled man. He's certainly skilled at being very happy.
Absolutely, mate. He is an inspiration to us all. But enough of chapter 20. That's old news.
Onwards to chapter 21. 21. The reading.
Oh! My glasses are here.
That's good. Ah. You have to peer at them like a elderly sewing person.
Good metaphor. The sixth on glaze.
Sewing in Russia.
Oh, my word. Has anything happened? I am so terrified. I thought perhaps something had happened.
Uh-huh. Is cross-stitch more popular in Russia than other parts of the world?
I'd love to know.
90% of the posts on Instagram for hashtag cross-stitch are from Russia.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Yes, yes, of course.
Is it some sort of conspiracy? Is Instagram showing the whole story? What's going on?
That's my question. What is going on? What is going on? Yes, I was a fool.
Turns out Russians like cross-stitching.
Good stuff, mate.
Got a history of textile arts.
Do not let us lose any time. Steve? Steve?
Yes, mate.
I value your friendship and wish you to have as good an opinion of me. Don't upset yourself and let us talk sensibly while there is still time. All right, mate?
That's so kind, Will. That's very reasonable. And I'm glad that you've recognised the problem and you're trying to talk us down. So I found a guide online,
right,
of how to sew myself a Smurf costume.
Yeah, of course you have. Okay,
we'll put this on our Instagram. But I've got a photo here of what
good lord,
what I'll look like. It's an easy pattern. Shouldn't be hard.
Yeah,
it's got 71,000 views.
Oh, it's a lot.
Cut the hat out, it's easy. Yep. And then you shove the hat full of stuff, that's it. And you cover yourself in blue paint and you're off.
Oh, okay, they do cover that bit, because the picture you showed me is essentially a woman painted blue with a pillowcase on her head.
Yeah, well, it's not just a pillowcase, she's put a small amount of stuffing at the end of it.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference between a Smurf and a pillowcase, is the...
Because you'd look stupid if you just painted yourself blue and put a pillowcase on your head.
Yeah, you'd look absolutely ridiculous, but put a little bit of stuffing in there and you're a Smurf and everyone will...
Hang on a sec. Look at that massive Smurf walking down the street.
High fives coming in, like people like getting out of your way and stuff.
Look at it, it's Smurfy Steve!
People throwing money out their car windows.
They would. They would throw stuff at you.
This is for 100 points.
Oh, this one's a good quote for this exact moment. Don't talk to me.
Don't you want 100 points, though?
Yeah, amazing. On that note, Steve, I've finished reading.
Oh. But how deep is Russia's continental shelf?
Absolutely no chance, mate. I've finished reading the book. Let's crack on.
Okay, 200 metres.
Okay, Steve, chapter 21, It's a Beast.
Okay, I'm excited.
So, the Rostov party is going on in the background.
Of course.
The sixth on glaze is being danced.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, the musicians are absolutely knackered. The footmen are tired. The cooks are sorting out supper. No doubt they're preparing more pineapples for supper.
I'd hope so. As a little midnight snack.
Whilst this is going on then, Count Bezukhov, a.k.a. Cyril, a.k.a. the uncle in the bedroom.
You're joking. He's there.
No, he's at home. He's busy having his sixth stroke of the evening.
It's a shocking number of strokes, but it's not nice.
It is, but isn't it interesting that at the party they've just had their sixth dance and he's had his sixth stroke?
Sorry. You're suggesting that there's some correlation between dancing the anglaise and Count Cyril several miles away having...
Having a stroke.
Having a stroke.
Yeah, I think so. Some German doctor says later on, are you happy for me to do the German accent again, mate?
Yeah, I'd like a small sample of it just to remind us how bad it was, but maybe just keep it brief.
There has never been a case that one lifts after the third stroke.
I don't understand what you're saying. That is incomprehensible.
I'll translate it. There has never been a case that one lives after the third stroke.
Oh, right.
This guy's had six.
Blimey. Poor Cyril.
I think the writing is very much on the wall for Cyril. Recovery, impossible. It's dying time.
Is that what the doctor says?
That's my take on it. Preparations for the sacrament of unction are underway.
Okay.
I believe that's some kind of religious thing you give to people who are going to die.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some chit-chat I picked up from a couple of the characters who are milling around. Someone says, I knew someone who received the sacrament seven times. They must have been seriously ill, right?
So need so much unctioning, the sacraments.
Yeah, you'd get so bored of unctioning someone after like three times, right?
I mean, there are seven circles of hell, right? So maybe it's a unction per circle of hell.
Yeah, maybe, mate.
I'm not a theologian. That could be wrong.
You're absolutely not, pal. I quite like this. There's a group of undertakers milling around outside the property.
A bad sign.
They keep hiding whenever anyone approaches.
Like in bushes.
I'm like, oh, look, there's someone coming. Cheese it. Hide, quick. It's so important that the military governor of Moscow has arrived.
Wow.
And he's been sending loads of aide de camps.
Of course.
Our favourite job. To inquire about the Count's health. Steve, if I were an aide de camp, what would you say to me about the Count's health?
He's not well. He's not very well. As I'm sure you noticed on the way in, there were a lot of undertakers outside.
I saw a couple of them hiding up a tree.
Yeah, well, that one clinging to the underside of the horse. You know, there's quite a few different places. It's like a Where's Wally sort of, Where's Waldo sort of, that's for our American audience there, picture.
I think you nailed it, mate. The Count's really, really unwell.
Yeah.
The reception room then is full of family, clergy, doctors. The governor, he spends about 30 minutes with the Count. And then the Count passes out and the governor sneaks off and can't really be asked. And he tries to avoid everyone on his way out.
Smart.
But I did pick up some chatter about the governor.
Uh-huh.
As he's walking out, someone says this. How young looking he is.
Ooh, okay. He's like a sexy governor.
Yeah, yeah. And he's over 60.
Nice. He should hang out with Shin Shin.
Right? They could dress up in hoodies together and go skateboarding, my dudes.
Rollerblading around.
Yeah, and he's over 60. Yeah.
Nice. He sounds like an eligible bachelor.
Love it. Enter Vasily. He sat down all alone on a chair in the ballroom, crossing one leg high over the other, leaning his elbow on his knee and covering his face with his hand.
He's upset.
What's going through his mind, Steve?
Am I in the will? Did I do enough to get in the will because the clock's run out?
I mean, you've absolutely nailed it. It's just about that pesky little will. We called this chapter and chapter and chapter ago.
Yeah.
He's off to meet the eldest princess.
Right.
But we're going to pause there.
Sure.
So that part of the chapter is to be continued.
Good stuff. It's left on a scary note.
Absolutely, mate. And Steve, who's our favourite War and Peace doctor?
It's got to be Dr. Lorraine.
Dr. Lorraine, have a point, mate. Dr. Lorraine is there chatting to a princess. He's talking about how beautiful the weather is.
I've got to be honest, I'm not that surprised that the Count isn't doing very well. Dr. Lorraine doesn't seem like the world's best doctor.
He doesn't, mate. He's just, he's wandering around commenting on how nice the pictures are. One of the princesses approaches him and asks if the Count can have a drink.
Presumably beef tea.
Well, mate, you're not far off. The drink he says she should make is pretty, pretty repulsive. Here's the recipe if anyone wants to make this at home. Take a glass of boiled water.
Check.
And put a pinch of cream of tartar in it.
Done.
And there you go.
Delicious.
He indicated by his delicate fingers what he meant by a pinch.
You could call it, say, a pinch.
Just a little pinch. A delicate little pinch. Pop that tartar sauce in the boiling water. You've got yourself a lovely drink.
I don't think that's going to cure...
anything.
But who am I to say? I mean, you know, I was surprised by the beef tea. Maybe tartar has some incredible curative properties.
Yeah, I'd be really intrigued to finish off a sweet cup of beef tea, then have a little tartar sauce and boiling water. Oh, lovely. The German doctor's milling around. He asks Lorraine if the count will last till morning. Lorraine doesn't speak to him. He just waves a severely negative finger before his nose.
Sort of like mum's the word.
He's a very strange man, isn't he?
Honestly, Dr. Lorraine doesn't know what's going on.
He hasn't got a bloody clue, has he?
He's bluffing. He's not a real doctor.
I wouldn't trust him with my life, that's for sure.
I wouldn't trust him with my keys.
So, you've got all those people milling around. There's an atmosphere about the place. Everyone's on tender hooks. Now we're back to Vasily. He has now entered the princess's room.
Okay.
He's gone to meet the eldest princess, Catherine, his cousin, but he calls her Catiche.
Actually, didn't Amy say in her email that... there's lots of different ways to pronounce these names, and sometimes in...
Oh, for God's sake, really?
She knows loads about War and Peace. She should probably do a podcast about War and Peace, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and we should listen to it before we do ours.
Yeah, that would make the whole thing a lot more informative. Anyway, yeah, she said that the names are, you know, pronounced differently. We would butcher them, whatever they said, I suspect, so maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. We're never going to pronounce these names correctly. Catiche, she's got a small dog. And you know she's a main character because we get a very bizarre description of a part of her body.
Okay, I reckon it's of her, maybe her elbow.
Oh, okay, didn't think you were going to go there. It's her hair.
She's got hair exactly like her dog's.
Her hair, and I quote, "so extremely smooth that it seemed to be made of one piece with her head and covered with varnish."
Oh, that's awful.
She just sounds horrible. She's just got one giant piece of hair that's like glued to her head.
She sounds like a kind of porcelain doll or a Barbie or something like that.
It's been dipped in oil. Now onto Catiche's body.
Oh, good. It goes on.
Straight, rigid body, abnormally long for her legs.
She's got normal sized legs, but a really, really long torso with a plastic Barbie head or possibly porcelain doll head on top.
And a giant piece of hair that's really slicked and greasy, covered in butter.
Tolstoy's not been kind to her.
He hasn't. There's understandably quite a somber atmosphere in the room, and both of them, it turns out, are absolutely knackered. She's also a bit annoyed because she can't have a nap, you know, which is fair because her uncle's upstairs having about his 20th stroke. But there you go. Vasily needs to talk, and he's bloody nervous and he's twitching, and it's really getting to him, the pressure. He's about to explode. He explains, though, first, he sets this up nicely, that he really loves his family and he views his cousins as his children. And I think that's a nice way of viewing your cousins, isn't it?
As your own children.
Yeah, as your children, not as people you want to bloody marry.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true, but it's a bit weird to... is there a big age gap?
There must be, mate. He's 60. I found that out later.
Oh, right, okay. Well, then that seems fair enough. I mean, if you were the same age and you viewed your cousins as your children, that would probably be seen as a bit bit rude.
It would be a bit rude. It would be a bit weird. And also, Steve, to add to that, not only do we know now that Vasily is about 60 years old, he's also bald.
Okay.
Don't know if you knew that.
Fair enough. Someone had to be.
Yeah. There you go. Just in case you don't know this, because I didn't really, Vasily and Catherine, or Catiche, and her three sisters, they are direct heirs of the Count, of Count Bezukhov.
Okay, so they are in a position maybe where they're trying to just 100% make sure they're going to get the money and keep off all these other little people who are trying to have a little nibble on the money.
So in a normal situation,
yeah,
Count Bezukhov dies, the money, the estate just automatically goes to them.
Fantastic. Great news.
But Vasily explains how the Count has called for Pierre.
Oh, no.
Illegitimate Pierre.
He's over at the party having a great dance. This is going to be the best night of his life.
Mate, this is mad stuff. Catiche is musing about the Count, hoping that he won't suffer, saying really nice things.
Sure, sure, yeah.
And Vasily just cuts her off and goes, yeah, whatever. Look, the will. Let's just talk about the will.
It's always been about this.
So last summer, Vasily explains, the Count made a will leaving everything to Pierre.
Ooh.
Katish butts in. Yeah, but he's made loads of wills. Doesn't matter anyway, because Pierre is illegitimate, so it won't count for shit.
That's not how wills work, is it?
Pierre is an illegitimate son. He's not his direct heir. So Catherine's saying, mate, stop worrying about it. It doesn't matter. The money just can't go to him. He's not legitimate.
Even if he wants it to go to him.
However.
Okay, loophole.
It turns out the Count wrote a letter to the Emperor asking for Pierre's legitimation.
Right. Oh, you can be legitimized.
You can be legitimized if you're incredibly rich and powerful, aka Count Bezukhov.
It's almost as if it means nothing.
But.
God, there's a lot of detailed twists and turns here.
The letter wasn't sent.
No.
The con is on.
So the Count's written this letter, like, can Pierre be made legitimate?
Yep.
Then he gives it to one of his trusted relatives. He's like, you pop that down the post office for me.
Well, Steve, good point. The key here is that Vasily wants the bloody letter and doesn't know where it is. That's why he's talking to Catherine, Katish, saying, where is the bloody letter? We need to destroy it.
Yes, I see.
Now, Katish isn't really following this. I am a woman and you think we are all stupid, but I know this, an illegitimate son cannot inherit. Unbattled.
Were you saying that or was she saying that?
She was saying that. I did a little French accent. The bastard. So she's going, listen, Vasily, shut up. It doesn't matter. Pierre is illegitimate. He cannot get the money. And now Vasily's starting to lose it and he explains the letter situation again. If the letter is received by the Emperor, then Pierre will no longer be Pierre. He will become Count Bezukhov.
Whoa. Just like that. Just that one letter.
If that letter is received by the Emperor, Pierre gets everything.
Burn the whole house down, I say.
Unbelievably, Catherine doesn't get it still. Vasily is really quite losing it now. He tells her, and I quote, for the 10th time, he explains again that she and her sisters won't be heiresses anymore. And that if she won't believe him, well, she should believe an expert.
Who's that?
He's even chatted to the family solicitor, and the solicitor agrees with Vasily. If that letter gets to the Emperor, bye-bye inheritance.
Is a solicitor in the same kind of organisation as Lorraine, Dr. Lorraine?
It's probably just him in a different hat.
We can't necessarily trust that advice.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lorraine. I mean, I'm Solicitor Lorraine.
Solicitor Lorraine, nice to meet you.
I've never met you before. Look at this big moustache. Very different to the doctor, would you say? Finally, Catherine actually gets it.
Okay.
I was a fool. I still believed in people, loved them, and sacrificed myself. But only the base, the vile succeed. I know who has been intriguing.
Oh, that was good. That was a good performance. That was up there with my sobbing last week, I think.
Yeah, no, I was really inspired by your performance last week, mate. So I just wanted to do my own. Vasily's like, yeah, cool. Listen, whatever. Just stop it. Listen, we can sort this out. We just need the letter. Stop freaking out. Obviously, you want the money. We just need to destroy the letter. I shall always remember that in this world, one must accept no reward. That in this world, there is neither honour nor justice. In this world, one has to be cunning and cruel.
I kind of get what she's saying, as in she doesn't want to have to go through all these hoops just to get them the huge pile of money that she thought was hers already.
Yeah, she's absolutely livid with all this. She's been looking after the Count, their family, and essentially it's all going to be ripped away from them. So she's just responded by going, all right, well, I don't want the bloody money then. Sod it all.
I think she does want the money, though, to be honest.
Vasily's like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, I know it's, oh, yeah, so sad, whatever, yeah. Let's get the letter, though, Catherine. Where's the letter?
All right, so there's a lot of back and forth between these two. The point is they need to find this letter, otherwise they might not get any money, and they want money.
If they don't find the letter, it will get sent to the Emperor when they go through the dead count stuff, and Pierre will be made legitimate, and that's it. Game over.
Right, so they've got, I assume, a matter of hours, perhaps minutes, to find the letter and burn it.
The ticking clock has started to tick. Guess who came round last winter, Steve? not only bloody Anna too.
Anna Mikhailovna.
Anna Mikhailovna came round last winter. Mm. Catherine's just remembered, and she says this about her. Whom I would not take for a housemaid, the infamous vile woman.
that's me, I quite like her. I think she's wily.
After Anna too had a chat with the Count last winter,
yeah.
That's when the Count decided to write this letter about making Pierre his sole heir.
She's very persuasive, I'm not that surprised.
So Catherine says that to Vasily. He's like, yeah, cool, whatever. Where is the letter?
Mm-hmm.
Show me the letter. Steve, where is the letter? Where would you hide the letter?
Well, he's a sick old man stuck in bed. And so I assume it's like somewhere within arm's reach of his bed. It could be under the pillow.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. My God. Stop it. Stop it. Are you kidding me?
Well, is that right? It's under his pillow.
Mate, that's correct. You absolute legend. It's literally under his pillow.
Well, look, my logic was he can't go anywhere, so it's going to be under his pillow or under his bed or in next to his bed.
Mate, you can have 23 points.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Just have them. You absolutely nailed it. The letter is under the dying Count's pillow.
How do they know that? How do they find it? I mean, unless they're just like super sleuths like me.
Catherine just suddenly remembered. She's a very odd person.
Okay,
so
right.
she knows. She knows where it is. But look. What I will say, Anna too, if you're listening, Catherine is out to get you. Here we go.
Do you imagine that the characters of the book listen to this podcast?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. That sounds healthy.
So this is what Catherine says at the end of the chapter about Anna too. And what does she come worming herself in here for? But I will give her a piece of my mind. The time will come. Boom.
Tough talk, fighting talk.
And that, mate, is chapter 21.
It's the summary.
Wow, so it's really setting the stage for what is going to be an unholy legal battle.
Yeah, we just need to find this letter and we need to burn it.
The Count is so sick, he can't put up a fight. They're just going and take it, surely.
What a chapter, mate. We are getting ready for a heist. The heist is coming, the letter heist.
There was a lot of back and forth, a lot of chat about this letter.
It would have really helped the length of the chapter if Catherine had just told him where it was straight away.
It seems like she knew all along.
Do you reckon there's going to be a kind of Mission Impossible scene where Vasily is lowered down on ropes into the Count's bedroom?
Do you think he's got a sort of laser protection system around his bed? Maybe a couple of guard dogs.
And they'll use smoke and stuff to display the lasers. And
Perfect.
They'll drop pieces of ham that have been poisoned to take out the guard dogs.
They'll get one of them wheeled in a new wardrobe, Trojan horse sort of scenario.
Dr. Lorraine will dress up as a wardrobe.
Dr. Lorraine's done that already. Dr. Lorraine is also a wardrobe salesman, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Hello, I'm Leanne. I'm the wardrobe salesman.
All right, mate, I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
Who knows what will happen here?
3, 2, 1.
Chapter 21, letter in the bedroom. Cyril's not well. He's on his way out. He's got loads of money. Greasy haired and bald Vasily, Katish, they want money. They want the money. Will they get the money? money. Letters, money.
I like the bit at the
money,
end where
letters.
You just kept saying letter, money, letter. Letter and money.
I didn't want to be in the situation you were in last week where you just had 3 whole seconds just sitting there.
And I looked absolutely stupid, didn't I? But not you today, sir. Boy, how you showed me.
Not me.
You really showed us how a pro does it. What did you call the chapter?
Last time Cyril was in it, I called it Uncle in the Bedroom.
Right.
And this is a sort of thematic naming. I've called it Letter in the Bedroom.
God, this is like the DVD commentary, isn't it, to the podcast over the top. Great.
You know it's a good name because it needs a lot of explanation.
Yeah. There is a letter in the bedroom. Listen, you did a good job there considering this chapter, long as it was to read, was really about one thing. The Count's about to die, who gets the money, and it appears to all come down to this letter, which is under his pillow.
It boiled down to a long, quite confusing conversation about a letter.
Catherine could have ended that chapter within one sentence if she said, oh, that's under his pillow.
Yeah, I've got it.
Who gets the money, Steve? Who are you betting on? Will Pierre become Count Bezukhov?
Oh, I really hope so. It's all sounding perfect to me because Natasha is coming in. You know, he's got the love. Potentially, he won't even need to solve the job problem if he gets all the money in Moscow. The amount of bears this man's going to own if he has all the money.
His housewarming party would be more dangerous than the actual war.
Hundreds of bears, bear butlers, Dr. Lorraine there in all sorts of different costumes.
Selling light bulbs and alcohol.
He's a bear salesman also.
Well, on that note, see you later.
See you, mate.
Thank you for listening to another episode of War and Peace in Just 7 Years, you bloody legend. Episode 21.
Amazing.
You're amazing. I'm amazing. Steve's okay. We ask but one thing of you, and that's to leave us a lovely rating or review. Please go to wapin7.com/rate. It really does help us out. And genuinely, we just love reading them and seeing all the shiny stars. It makes our day.
Yeah, like Will said, if you enjoy the podcast, please do leave a review, a rating or a review. Just go to www.wapin7.com/rate.
Do it.
Or you can scroll down, the link's in the description.
Either or, it's very much up to you. And hey, here are the silly bits. That, my friend, was a beast of a chapter.
Oh, I like
Willy
it.
Is Willy. I'm not calling myself Willy. Jesus.
You probably
referring
shouldn't
to
do
myself
that.
In the third person is Willy. That's low.
That's really, really low. It's both narcissistic and also incredibly lame. Better get a letter.
Better get a letter. Jesus.
It's not going to be the title, though. Don't worry.
Mate, come on. We're not having that. That's not going to be the title, is it?
It's like a kids TV show.
Better get a letter.
It's quite fun to say, though.
It is fun to say. Look.
Better get a letter.
Put it in the description if you want, but you're not calling the chapter that.
My name's Peter and my name's Paul and my name's Sally and my name's James and my name's Clive and my name's Sue and my name's Peter and James.
Yeah, you'll go.
My name's John and Ginny and Jim.
You can't stop.
Jim and Ginny and James and Sarah and Tom.
He stopped.
Sir Tom and Sarah and Tom.